John 19, 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. It is finished. In that moment, between the chaos of what just happened, where that chaos then began to transition into stunned silence as the hours passed and the body of Jesus was laid in the tomb, a tomb sealed by a heavy stone. Where does one's mind go? Where does one's heart go? On this side of the resurrection, we know that Sunday is coming. But tonight, we remember the cross. Earlier, as we readied ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper, Pastor Dave encouraged us to try and put ourselves kind of in the sandals of the disciples in that upper room moment. And again, I too want to encourage you to allow your heart and mind to go back to that moment, to go back to that hillside, to go back to that vision of Christ on a cross. When Jesus utters the words, "It is finished," and gives up his spirit, we are there now in a time when not knowing what Sunday was to bring is our reality. A time when not knowing what Sunday was going to bring, truly and honestly, was our reality. Where would your mind go in that moment? Where would your heart go in those moments? Allow yourself to feel the weight of the tension in the air. For those closest to Jesus, his disciples, family, followers, and friends, there was no Easter yet. There was no resurrection at this time. For them, Friday was dark. Fear was high. Maybe even doubts were starting to creep in a bit. As the chaos turns to silence, one's mind might begin to race. One's mind might be go back to the things that you had just heard and witnessed over the past week, over the past months, over the past years walking with Jesus. Maybe your mind goes back as you're trying to make sense of everything that happened. Maybe it goes back even further to the stories of ancestors in the past and how God revealed himself to his people throughout history. One's mind might begin to race, if you can imagine. So maybe you have a flashback to a moment, maybe a moment you denied knowing Jesus. Maybe you denied him three times even. Maybe it goes back to a moment you debated with your friends who is greater among you and who might get to sit at the privileged seat at the table. Maybe your mind goes back to when you were struggling with some pride. Maybe your mind goes to that time you reached out in anger and maybe mixed with a little bit of fear to strike out at your enemy, only to be told enough, and then watch your teacher, watch your master care for your enemy and heal your enemy. Maybe your mind goes back to a time when you're walking through the streets and you see a group of children, a group of kids running up, and your first instinct is to stop them and to hold them back when all they want is to experience the goodness of the teacher that you know so well. Maybe as the chaos turns to silence and your mind's racing, you go back to when Jesus tried serving you by washing your feet, and you protested to that. Maybe you go back to a time just a few hours before in a garden where Jesus encourages you to pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Yet in the fatigue of a week that was chaotic and crazy, you fall asleep instead. Or as you begin to think about walking with Jesus and those times where he was teaching you, the times he was reminding you of the stories of your ancestors when he's in the temple teaching from the Old Testament, maybe your mind goes all the way back to the beginning. Maybe as you're trying to make sense of it all, you're starting to have these memories of how God was redeeming his people throughout time. And your mind goes back to Adam and Eve. And as they shared in the fruit that they were told not to eat from, and their eyes are opened, and they now know the shame of their nakedness, and you remember how they hid from their Creator, but you also start to remember these images of how God cared for them through the shedding of blood as he makes garment out of skins to cover their shame. Maybe you remember a promise that was told. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, pointing to something far greater than what was going on in the moment. Maybe your mind goes back to Abraham and Isaac, as Abraham's trudging up the mountainside with his son by his side and a backpack full of wood for a burnt offering. And then when he gets to the top, you remember how in faithfulness Abraham makes an altar and lays his son on the altar, lays wood on top of him. And then by grace of God, he looks over and sees a ram caught in the thistles, and he realizes that God had provided a substitute for this sacrifice. Maybe the wheels are turning in your head, but you're still confused, scared, and extremely sad over what you had just witnessed. Maybe you think back to the enslaved Israelites in Egypt. And as you think about this substitution that Isaac received, you think about the shedding of blood and the markings with the blood on the door jams so that the angel of death might pass over God's people, saving them and then eventually leading them out of Egypt, out of slavery. Maybe your thoughts go back to the words of the prophet Isaiah. We read them earlier. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then as you're thinking, maybe you're going back, I don't know, around 33-ish years before tonight. And you remember some shepherds on a hillside tending their flocks. And you remember how these shepherds were greeted by a chorus of the heavenly hosts, and an angel spoke to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the peoples. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And you're sitting there trying to make sense of everything, but you're still confused. The guy that you were with for 3 years was just brutally murdered on a cross. And as you think about Jesus, your mind is taken back to some of the things he was teaching you as you walked with him. Maybe three things in particular. We know this to be from Matthew 16:21. They just knew it from their relationship with their Savior. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then sometime later, again, we know this is Matthew 17:20-23. They just knew it as hanging out with Jesus. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. Could you imagine? They're greatly distressed then. How distressed are they are right now? Sitting, looking at the cross of Calvary. A little bit later, we know this to be Matthew 20:18-19. Again, this is just them spending time with Jesus. He says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Yet the reality of seeing Jesus through the trial, through the arrest, spending that last week with him, and then seeing Jesus beaten, battered, mocked, flogged, cursed, and crucified, that's heavy. And in view of what just happened to your Savior, you might have a little bit of fear that maybe you're next, because you follow this Jesus guy. As your confusion and mourning continues, as your grief builds, you don't know what to do or where to go. Hope seemed to be gone. Rome is still in control at this time. It appears the religious leaders had gotten away with it again. Death seemed to have won. The tomb is now shut with a heavy stone. Yet through all these memories and these teachings, you still get an inkling that God still moves in the perceived darkness. That his power is not limited by our understanding. That through looking back at God's story of his people and redeeming his people throughout history, you remember that his promises don't go empty. And that you're holding on to the glimpse that he is still on the throne, even when we can't feel it in this moment. And that his plan is still at work. Now, as we struggle with that scene, as we struggle with standing back and looking at the cross on the hill, the three crosses, let's journey back to today. And as we come back today, we know now exactly what the disciples and the followers, friends and family, couldn't quite see fully then. That Sunday is coming. That the full payment of our sins are paid for in full. It is finished. My encouragement to each of you and myself is to not overlook Friday for Sunday. In just a minute, we're going to sing the tune, "Oh, Praise the Name," together. This song starts with this lyric, "I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree." As you sing this song, allow your mind to be cast to Calvary. And there at the foot of the cross, I want to encourage us to lay our burdens that are keeping us from boldly following Christ today down at the foot of the cross. I want to encourage, if there is a sin that might be weighing you down tonight, lay it down in the foot of the cross, knowing that by the blood of Christ, those sins are washed clean. And be encouraged in that you don't have to wait until you feel like you have life figured out before coming to the Lord, or you're waiting for this perfect time to come to the Lord. He meets you where you are, where you're at, and offers you salvation right here and now. Pastor Dave mentioned this passage, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Tonight, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, as we look to the cross, my prayer is that this will be the day you proclaim him Lord of your life. Romans 10:9-10 says this, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The sins of all who believe have been paid for in Christ alone. It is finished." Let's all stand as we're able once again, and let's sing about that Calvary. Oh, praise the name.